Isn't this a sports show?
People see how handsome I am. They don't even talk about how good of a radio host I am.
It is all we can think about.
Almost entirely.
Any interaction with you, I get off the phone with my wife. She asks me how the segment goes. I said, man, Josh is handsome.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Someone is changing one of the First Take TVs to Judge Judy. Hell
Woo!
Yeah.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
No. No, they changed it to the news. No!
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
There's a lot of stupid things I'd do for good retweets.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Honestly, I'm in a mood. I am in a shot-out-of-cannon mood right now. And I don't get like this very often. I really don't. It started last night whenever I started seeing some of the tweets and some of the takes. This morning it got worse. Tonight, who knows what's going to happen. Chivalry is not dead. And whenever you step to Patrick Mahomes, I will step in to defend his honor. You know that about me, I hope, by now. I must enter the fray and protect his good name. In reality, actually, what I'm here to do, we can say with a sort of like the chivalry vibe, I'm really here to slay bad takes and bad ignorant opinions. And good Lord, there have been a ton of those in the last 12 hours or so revolving around Patrick Mahomes. So I'm here to help. Fear not, worry not, fret not. I'm here to help you. I also see that right now on Around the Horn, one of the topics, Mahomes. I'll tell you whenever it gets there what it actually says for the whole bottom graphic, but I'm pretty sure it's going to talk about throwing 3 picks yesterday or 4 picks in 2 days or something like that. And I'm going to lose my damn mind. I want to give you the short version of this because this was something that happened yesterday, and there are things that happened today also that are really important for us to talk about. But with a special thanks to Seth Kizer, who he touched on this topic with yesterday on the show, but just barely touched on it. Since then, I have been able to go into Mach 5 and blast off into a full rage cycle. Here's what happened with Patrick Mahomes yesterday. He was playing quarterback in training camp, as he is wont to do.
Be strange if he was like the punter.
Some people would prefer that at this point. What is Patrick Mahomes if not an arm-based punter? He'll just throw interceptions 40 yards down the field. He's basically a punter now.
He could be a killer quarterback or cornerback. That'd solve the turnover issue right there.
And I would appreciate that.
And the quarterback issue.
I wish he'd play both directions.
Yeah.
Emerson to quarterback, Mahomes to cornerback. Fight me.
Who says no?
So yesterday he was out there playing quarterback during training camp. And he made one real mistake, one arguable mistake, and one thing that was not a mistake. And that results in people getting up into the Twitter mentions going, "Gonna be a long year, Chiefs fans, rookie quarterback." And can I say, honestly, it might be a long year. I don't think it's going to be. But if you think it is, I'm not going to call you an idiot for thinking that it could be a long year, that Mahomes could struggle. I'm not here for that. I'm not here to tell you that it couldn't go poorly. I don't think that it will. I've been on record saying quite the opposite. But I can't tell you factually that it's going to be a perfect season. But if you're going to say, long year, Chiefs fans, rookie quarterback, you'd better have a damn good reason. The three interceptions that Patrick Mahomes threw yesterday, they were there in three different instances. We'll hear from Pat Mahomes to explain it in his own words here in just a second. But I'm going to give you the three rundowns so you can hear him explain it in more detail and out of his own mouth. One, he should have run in. He didn't run it in because he's in a yellow jersey, which means he can't be hit. So he said, you know, didn't want the guys to razz me afterwards for taking a free touchdown. Because theoretically, Patrick Mahomes could, you know, run from the other 20 into the end zone and no one could hit him. Because if you hit Patrick Mahomes in training camp, you are jobless the next day. I don't care if it's Justin Houston. Out. You are gone. And so he tried to make a throw that he said he would not have made in a game. Again, you'll hear from him in a second. Saying exactly that. So I'm fine with it. Fine. It's fine. That's fine. He took a shot on that particular play to try to make something happen with his arm instead of running it in an instance where he could not be hit. That was interception one that does not worry me. Interception two was on a free bleeping play. He drew the defense offside. He took a shot. It got picked off. 5 yards to the offense. Move on. Replay down. Or first. I don't know if it's automatic first down or if it's replay down. Don't at me about that. That interception, I put in big old air quotes, was a 5-yard gain for the offense. Go bleep yourself. Was that too aggressive? I'm just so angsty about this. This is the angstiest I've been about a topic in a very long time. Beards, think if you can think of the last time I was this angsty about a topic. Don't have to give it to me right now. Just think about it.
Marcus Peters?
Probably. This is probably the angstiest I've been since Marcus Peters got traded for a bag of Lay's potato chips. Baked potato chips. You know what? Like, what's the worst Lay's flavor? You know what I don't like? You want a spicy take that's even hotter than these Patrick Mahomes ones? I don't love barbecue-flavored chips.
Get out of here.
Don't love them.
Leave the studio.
I don't love them. Sour cream and onion? Better?
No.
Original? Better?
No.
A good, like, I think it was Ruffles or something. I don't know. There's some sort of, like,
wavy
cheese. There's, like, a cheese and, like, chive kind of thing.
Oh, I have no idea about that.
Those are pretty funky fresh. Don't love barbecue chips. At least not the Lay's brand.
They're the most addicting thing on the face of the earth.
The Mesquite Lay's ones or whatever?
No, just the normal barbecue chips that they have.
I think those are Mesquite. I think they say Mesquite. Like a black bag, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not my favorite.
They're the best.
Don't love them. This is our version of First Take. First Taste. Beards, write that down. $1 million idea, First Taste. In the style of First Take, we're eating food. I need you to get a little more ferocious as a personality, where you can really find your inner Stephen A. Smith as far as food goes. You know what? I want to be Stephen A. You can be Max Kellerman.
Yeah, that's who it is.
He and Will Kane are the same person to me until I see them both in front of me with different like logos above their heads. So I don't love barbecue chips. That's the point of the show today. The second interception there from Patrick Mahomes was, again, a free play. It was a 5-yard gain for the offense. He took a shot. What would you rather him do? Would you rather him check it down or throw a screen or throw it away or take a sack and pick up 5 yards or put the ball up in the air, get a 50-50 chance for a big play, or you pick it off and whenever it's picked off, you still pick up 5 yards because the defense was offsides. This is how this works. This is something that Aaron Rodgers is incredible at. Why should we not want Patrick Mahomes to be testing the same thing in bleeping training camp? So that one was not an interception. That one simply wouldn't count in any situation other than a situation in which you are willing to forego reality. Third interception, and this one counts. This one absolutely counts. He called the wrong play in the huddle, according to himself. That totally counts, honestly. I will not say that he didn't throw that pick. I think it's worth noting how he did it, because in rival markets or in national conversations, I'm assuming, I don't know, we'll see. It's Mahomes threw three picks. He's inaccurate. He's wild. And Patrick Mahomes isn't inaccurate. He will hopefully get increasingly more accurate as his NFL career goes on. But he isn't inaccurate.
Turnover problem.
I'm gonna wring your freaking neck, Beards.
Mom.
And if he has a turnover problem because he's still learning the offense, I get it, man. If he's still learning the if he's still calling the wrong plays in you know year two or I don't know maybe week three I don't know, there's a long window there. If he's calling the wrong plays in regular season games, I'm gonna be a little annoyed. If that costs him a game at some point, he turns the ball over because he called the wrong play. If it's week one, forget year two, that would be very frustrating. If there's a time I'm okay with that. It's right now, and you'll hear from Andy Reid in a little bit, pointing out that he does not make the same mistakes multiple times. But first, I want you to hear Patrick Mahomes. This was him yesterday talking about his 3 asterisk interception day.
Pat, I want to ask you about another play from early in practice. The one that looked like you could have run it in, mm-hmm. and McQuay ended up taking the pick. Yeah. What'd you see there, and why didn't you run it in?
Yeah, I mean, that was on me. I easily could have ran it in. We were in a live period, and I kind of didn't want to hear the defense talking trash to me for running in because they can't tackle me. And so I threw the ball, but, I mean, you just got to play your game. Play the game how it's supposed to be played. Don't try to force something in because they can't tackle you. And it's just something I have to learn from, and hopefully in the game I just run it in pretty easy.
Do you feel like you would have done that had this been a...
Yeah, and that's the first thing I said when I came to the sidelines. I would have just ran it in, but... They said, well, then do it. Don't train bad habits. And so for me, I just got to keep working on just running in, knowing they can't really tackle me, but at the same time, that was the play that needed to be made on that one.
You had a couple other picks today. Are you correcting the mistakes you're making on some of these, do you feel like?
Yeah, one play, the play was messed up because I called the play bad in the huddle. So I called the wrong play. We didn't run the right routes because I called the wrong play, and then I made the play worse. And so for me, being able to get in and out of the huddle, call the right plays, and then not making a bad play worse is something that I got to keep getting better at. And then the other interception was on the offside, so I was just trying to throw the ball and not take a sack on the offsides. And so we were able to move the chains and get a touchdown on that drive.
You worried about that? That terrify you? Would have run it in a game, called the wrong play, get through the defense offsides, and turn the ball over. I have fully explained what Patrick Mahomes did yesterday. It has been explained to you both in my words and in Lord Mahomes's. Hear ye. Pay attention. My least favorite phrasing was a question of what's going on here? Maybe early nerves? As if Patrick Mahomes is nervous about training camp, I guess. Spare me that one. Holy bleep. Not my concern. Is he turnover prone? I don't think so. But he's not right now. Not based off of logic that follows you around here. Not based off of yesterday. So yesterday's interceptions do not bother me. They don't count. Two of those three don't count. And then one of them is about something that's not based on being inaccurate or making the wrong decision. It was a misspoken call. It's really frustrating. Also, whenever he does actually throw interceptions in training camp, I'm not going to be completely knocked off my horse. And neither is Andy Reid. He talked today at training camp. He was asked about Patrick Mahomes' interceptions, and he said some things about that. He also says a thing here that I think if you haven't heard yet today, you're going to hear it and go, you know, whoa, wait a second. Is he talking about? Yikes. Here's what Andy Reid had to say.
No, he's doing a great job. You know, I know people wrote about the interceptions. I told you at the beginning of camp, I don't care about all that stuff. I want him to test the offense. It's so important. It's so important. We give him a ton of plays. I want him testing it. If you don't have the intestinal fortitude to go test it, you're going to be one of these quarterbacks that checks it down every time. And that's not what it's all about. So the great thing about Pat is he never makes the same mistake twice. It doesn't happen. He sees everything. He knows it. When he does make a mistake, he comes back and he can talk to you about it. And so he's done nothing but get better and better as we go, and he's got a load on him here.
So he's responding exactly like you'd like.
Yeah, very much so.
Sounds like good news, right? Andy Reid, like 3 hours ago. It's Patrick Mahomes not making the same mistake twice, responding exactly how you'd like him to, and testing the offense in training camp. If we're having this exact same conversation halfway through the season, even just in the first couple weeks of the season, then we'll have to recalibrate our expectations. But I have not seen anything yesterday or today that has made me recalibrate anything that I've been saying since the Chiefs basically drafted him. Certainly since the Week 17 game last season. Also, if you're going to be willing to be so thoroughly shook by a bad day, you better be shook the other direction whenever it goes well in camp, right? Probably not. My guess is that you're probably not being shook in a better direction whenever that happens, because you're looking for something that reaffirms your pre-existing expectation, which is that it's going to go poorly this year. It's frustrating. So the other thing that you heard from Andy Reid, he said, you know, if you don't have the, intestinal fortitude to test the offense and to make some mistakes and then capitalize on them, you're going to be one of those guys who checks down all the time, and you don't want that. That's not, what was the phrase? That's not, Beard, can you isolate that part again? That's not what you want from your quarterback.
Which phrase is it again?
Just the thing wherever he mentions the checkdowns and the intestinal fortitude. All of that. That whole section. I look at that from Andy Reid, first of all, and I'm thrilled. I love that. That's the best audio clip that I've heard from Andy Reid in, I don't know, like at this point, 3 years. Well, and with all Chiefs stuff, maybe 5 years. Maybe since Andy Reid's gotten here, as far as how long I've been talking Chiefs on some level. That might be my favorite Andy Reid clip ever. So I love that he is pushing Patrick Mahomes in the direction where you need to be looking for him to be testing the offense in training camp, because that's what it's for. This, though, was surprising to hear, honestly.
If you don't have the intestinal fortitude to go test it, you're going to be one of these quarterbacks that checks it down every time. And that's not what it's all about.
Crazy, man. Because that sounds like Alex Smith to all of us, right? At the very least, it sounds like Alex Smith from the beginning of his tenure in Kansas City. So, I think we have something there. Someone asked me on Twitter, said, hey, do you think that Andy Reid was taking a shot at Alex Smith? No, I don't. But what I think he did do there is that he admitted, finally, that Alex Smith wasn't his ideal quarterback. And honestly, I think he got closer to being that as time went on. But he for years, Andy Reid has been painted as a guy who wants the checkdowns, who wants the safe quarterback, and he's played it. He's absolutely played into that. That's been a part of his game, no question. But I think that we can see among the evolution of Alex Smith across that timeline, more recently, we've seen an evolving Alex Smith develop into a more confident deep passer, into a guy who will freelance a tiny bit more. Patrick Mahomes is going to do all that on a huge level compared to what Alex Smith has done. And I think that's great news for the Chiefs, and it sounds like Andy Reid's pretty damn excited about that. Mahomes, 7 INTs and 6 practices, a big deal? That's the around the horn topic right now. 7 and 6. I wondered how far they would spread out. I obviously can't. I can't hear them. But I hope somebody hears that Andy Reid quote. I hope somebody takes the second to realize that this is what it is to be a young quarterback in training camp. This is exactly what this time is for. Test the offense. Having Andy Reid pushing Alex Smith into testing the offense, that's music. That is music to my ears, honestly. Because the fear that I think has been built around Andy Reid is that he's going to want a stranglehold on this offense. Also, Beards, you're going to have to, I don't even know if we're on the right channel. Can you see if you can go roll on this? Go find the around the horn on Mahomes. I'll just talk here for a little while you look around. I don't know which TV it's on in here, but hopefully you can roll one of them. And if not, I don't know, we'll see. But I think the thing that we have been fearing about Andy Reid is that he was going to try to turn Patrick Mahomes into Alex Smith. And I've been telling you for a while that I don't buy that as a problem. I don't think that's going to be the trouble. But now I feel like we're getting that in big, bold letters. I feel like we're seeing now in full force what it looks like. And I'm excited. You should be excited about it also. All right, we're going to take a break. If you have any questions or comments, you can tweet me always at JB Brisker. You can comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. Grab a couple of those here in the comments whenever we come back. And we'll see what we can get you. Stop worrying about the interceptions. All right? Be excited about what Andy Reid just said. We're going to have a fantastically fun season. Maybe with some picks. Absolutely with some big plays. I would say extremely likely with a playoff berth, unquestionably with bunches of fun. I'm excited.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I hate some of you.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
In a minute or two, we may hear a quick window into the national conversation. Nate says that the On the Horn people are not freaking out about it, which is exciting. I'm excited to hear from them, though. We took our time during the break to splice it up. We should be there soon. I'm such a mixture of infuriated at the media losing their minds, as I am thrilled with Andy Reid's responses to all of the concerns around Mahomes' interceptions. I guess I've been angry enough this last 24-hour news cycle that I should be excited about the fact that Andy Reid is answering the questions about Patrick Mahomes just perfectly, and that I'm believing what it is that he's saying, and what it is that he's saying is, we want our young guy to test the offense in training camp. Will his tone change if he throws a bunch of picks during the season? Of course. Of course it will. And it should. If your starting quarterback throws a ton of picks, even as a rookie, it's something that you start going, I don't know. Are we worrying about all these interceptions and stuff? But the context with these Mahomes interceptions makes it a whole other story and a whole lesser story, in my opinion, compared to the idea of 7 picks in 6 practices. Oh, no, 7 picks in... Because 7 picks in 6 practices sounds pretty bad. But at the context of each of those individual picks, something else we talked about, and we'll talk to Tom Martin here of KCTV 5 in a little bit today. But Tom had a tweet a couple days ago about how Mahomes has thrown a lot of his interceptions to edge rushers. And I thought that was a fascinating observation because it makes sense. The Big 12 and the NFL, for all of their differences, I think one of the arguably maybe the most, I don't know, one of the most sort of jarring changes is that in the Big 12, if you're trying to sneak a pass by any Big 12 outside linebacker, you're probably doing okay. That's probably going to get there. If you're doing that in the NFL, trying to sneak one by Justin Houston, the physical tools that he has to get over there and to make a play on the ball, and also the mental acumen that he has to know where that ball's going to end up being, he's going to pick you off. That's going to happen. And so I look at what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes as being really logical places where he's learning what's going on and logically where he is testing the offense in ways that Andy Reid is encouraging. Also, Andy Reid saying that Mahomes isn't making the same mistake twice should be thrilling. Are we good on the Around the Horn topic? All right, we haven't heard of this yet, but I saw that Around the Horn was talking about Patrick Mahomes and all the picks and how many practices and everything. Leave my mic up, Beard, so I can yell if I feel like I need to scream over them, and let's see what they had to say about it.
Patrick Mahomes, 6 practices, 7 interceptions. At one point called the wrong play in the huddle. Resulted in an interception.
Andy Reid had this quote. If you don't have the intestinal fortitude to go test it, you're going to be one of those quarterbacks who checks it down every time.
Good. It's good.
That's not what it's all about.
Some guy named Alex Smith.
Would he buy or sell Mahomes with his 7 INTs and buy or sell Andy Reid's bomb right there?
Well, I'm buying Patrick, but I'm selling Andy. Andy had checked down Charlie for like 10 years in Kansas City before he shipped him out. And I think in terms of Mahomes, I saw him in his only start of last year and I'm very impressed. And I remember a young John Elway lining up behind guard and the guard saying, "You're in the wrong spot, kid."
All right. Good information, Sarah Spain.
Yeah, as for Mahomes, the more important quote is Andy Reid saying that he doesn't make the same mistake twice.
There it
is. Whatever we're seeing in training camp, whether it's all on him or some of the guys lining up or the play calling, hopefully he gets it worked out for the games that actually matter. As for the other quote, we'll find out pretty quickly whether Chiefs fans didn't know what they had till it's gone with someone who takes care of the ball.
All right, so Sarah's putting stock in that he's made 7 different mistakes and not the same mistake 7
that's
times.
Mean.
Bob Latore, how about you?
Andy Reid calling someone else out for making the same mistakes repeatedly is truly, truly mind-blowing hypocrisy, let alone the fact that Alex Smithman, who has been subtweeted now for several minutes on this show, Alex Smithman, everybody thinks they can manage a game. It's so easy. Well, go and try it, Pat Mahomes. Try and be Alex Smithman.
All right. It's a little too personal for you right now, Pat Mahomes.
Look, we don't get enough of Pat Mahomes to know if he can handle this, but they have put a lot of pressure on this kid. First, they trade up to go get him. Then they trade away Alex Smith. This is a really good team that they have here, and so much of it depends on him. I liked his quote, though, where he says, we're in a live portion of practice, and the reason I didn't run in is I didn't want the defensive guys laughing because they couldn't hit me. I did like that. That showed a little character.
I feel like I can pretty much run with all that. Even the stuff that's a little bit of a concern to some of them who may not have been, I mean, who obviously haven't been paying as close attention. I'm cool with pretty much all that, honestly. I think that the explanation behind the mistakes is important. I think Andy Reid saying he's making different mistakes is important. I've told you about the 3 mistakes that were made yesterday that were not really all mistakes. That it was the one that Ramona just touched on there with the not wanting to run it in, so the defensive guys didn't razz him about it. It was a free play, and it was the wrong play call. Those actually are 3 different things. I'm just not worried, and I think that was some good insight there. I do like what Pablo mentioned about Andy Reid being a guy who is praising someone else for not making the same mistakes over and over again. That's pretty funny. That's a good joke and a good observation, at least. Because we've seen Andy Reid do some of that. I don't know. I'm guessing there will be a faction of Chiefs fans who do, after Patrick Mahomes loses a game with an interception, which will happen at some point. Whenever that happens, I do think we're going to see a bunch of people on Twitter who start yearning for the return of Alex Smith, or start missing Alex Smith, at least. I think that's kind of that's going to be infuriating whenever it happens, but whatever. The other thing that comes out of that is the pressure that, again, was brought up, I think, by Ramona Shelburne also. The pressure on Patrick Mahomes, I think, should be not indicative of just the pressure on him, but I think that should be indicative of the faith that the Chiefs have in him. You trade up to get him. You let Alex Smith go. You put him out there in camp and practice and in week 17 last year. You put a lot on Patrick Mahomes because you are entrusting him with the ability to make Chiefs fans forget that Alex Smith was a pretty good quarterback while he was here, to make Chiefs fans forget about the insecurities and the things that we're concerned about. You're entrusting him to pull all of this off. It's fine with me, man. Honestly, I'm good with that. And the Chiefs obviously are too. Brett Veach, Andy Reid, the whole way through, people are allowing that pressure to be put on Patrick Mahomes in the absence of Alex Smith. Because they think he can do it. Because they think that he's capable of living up to the standards. And it's the standards that Alex Smith has set. It's the standards that Andy Reid has set. It's the standards that Chiefs fans have set. And those do keep getting raised. And I think the Chiefs believe that, Patrick Mahomes is going to meet them. And you should. By the way, another perspective on this that drives me absolutely insane is the response of, well, listen, you're making him Aaron Rodgers and he hasn't done anything yet. As if that is somehow Patrick Mahomes' fault. I haven't done anything in a real NFL game, in a meaningful NFL game. That's the phrase. He hasn't done anything in a meaningful NFL game yet. Again, as if that is somehow falling on the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes. As if that is a mistake that he has made. What do you want him to do? You want him to time travel? Did you want him to take a baseball bat to Alex Smith's kneecaps last year so he could get some in-game experience? Week 17 game, playing with a bunch of backups, that doesn't do anything for you. All playing in college doesn't do anything. You can't take anything from any of that. Eventually, you get caught here in a what we're going to call a like a haters communication loop. I think that's what we'll do. The haters communication loop. We're at point A. I'm going to chart this out. You can do it. You can do it at home if you got, you know, you want to go ahead and crack open your legal pad. At point A, we have, you know, hasn't done anything. And so then you kind of draw a little arching arrow over the top, arrow pointing over to point B, which is the Chiefs should have somebody who has done something. That's the inference, right? Hasn't done anything. Get someone who's done something, right? That's point B. And then another little arching little arrow pointing to point C, which is you have Alex Smith, who you also crush, and then you go back to point A whenever the Chiefs move on from Alex Smith. It's a really simple, like, little circular graph, just little A, B, C, a couple little arrows circling around. That is the communication, that's the haters' communication loop that we are currently in. Point A, we're in it right now. For the first time in 30 bleeping years. You know, the Chiefs have a quarterback. They finally drafted him, right? Well, now we're here. For the first time in 30 years, we're here. Talking about how the Chiefs have a basically rookie quarterback who hasn't had a real NFL game yet, a meaningful NFL game yet. And now we're mad about that, right? Now we're angry because we're getting optimistic about a quarterback who hasn't played meaningful NFL snaps. That's over to point B. So point B is then inferring, right, that you'd rather have a quarterback who has done something in an NFL game. Point C is you have Alex Smith, and then you get mad because Alex Smith isn't good enough, so you go back to point A. Because here's the secret, guys. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really hit the free agency market. Derek bleeping Carr doesn't hit the free agency market. So eventually, you as a football team have to invest in a young quarterback who hasn't played an NFL snap yet. And the Chiefs last year, they tried to hop in that little path between point A and point B, and it gave Patrick Mahomes NFL experience without being on the field. So they gave him a year of being a backup in the system, a year with the playbook, a year watching Alex Smith, a year being tutored by Andy Reid and Mike Kafka and Matt Nagy to some extent, I'm sure. A year being molded in an NFL system for a year. And then at the end of the year, he studied for a year, then he had a test. And in the test, week 17, he passes flying colors. And then he passes that test, and then now he's getting put into the line of fire, and now you're mad because he hasn't done enough in the league. You're an idiot. You're killing me, man. That loop right there, you are never going to be happy. Unless you could either love Alex Smith and then you just want the team to stick with Alex Smith, in which I would disagree with you there because that hasn't worked. You just keep bringing in the retreads. You'll get Matt Castle and you get Alex Smith and you get Joe Montana and you get you know, whenever a guy who's been a decent football player hits the market, then you go get him. Let me know how that works for you. It works very rarely. Nate said the haters want Steve Bono back. This is where we're at, honestly. Give me someone who's done something in the NFL.
Matt Castle.
Give us Matt Castle back.
Orton.
Kyle Orton's a good pull. We want Kyle Orton. He's done something in the league. Chiefs should have gotten to get Case Keenum. What are you doing? Like, I don't know if people that are in that hater cycle of communication, I don't know if they know that they're there and they're trolling. I don't know if they know that they're there and they want to fight. I don't know if they know that they're there and they want to just try to make everybody else around them furious. Or I don't know if they're ignorant. I don't know. But it's infuriating. Because no matter what, it is a lose-lose-lose situation. The Chiefs gave you everything you could have wanted. They put Patrick Mahomes behind Alex Smith for a year to try to accrue some of that NFL experience, even though he obviously couldn't be playing in the league while he was a part of the backup unit behind Alex Smith. What would you have them do? Stick with Alex Smith, sign Case Keenum, never draft a quarterback. They tried that one, actually. They've tried all of those. The Chiefs have built this setup as well as you can. If your entire argument at this point is that he's not Aaron Rodgers and he doesn't have in-game NFL experience, you're just looking for something to be grouchy about. The interceptions in training camp don't do anything to change that. I'm in a mood.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm not calling for Alex Smith to get shipped out of town.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I will carry Alex Smith to the airport on my back, like a koala.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Did you really like that, Lanner? I mean, those two clips are from like 13 hours apart or something.
I think it was the same post-game show.
It wasn't really?
I think it was the same post-game show.
Oh, that's awesome. A really interesting thread from Warren Sharp that I just saw. It looked like he tweeted it out about an hour ago. The last tweet is the one that I'll tell you here, and then we'll see if we can't get him on the show tomorrow or next week. He talks about how important it is to the Chiefs to win the turnover battle. And I think that's actually something that most like educated Chiefs fans have seen evidence of. That the Chiefs have been best whenever they've run the turnover battle, as most teams are. But the Chiefs, their metrics outside of the turnover battle haven't been the most successful. They have not been the best, or whatever, the third or fourth best team in the league, even though the record has been in that sort of category. Forgive me for fudging the numbers a little bit. But I look at that and go, oh, yeah, I need to be reminded that the Chiefs are best off, even with Alex Smith, whenever they're winning the turnover battle. But the tweet from Warren at the end of this thread I thought was really interesting. He said he agreed with at Move the Sticks on his latest podcast, and Move the Sticks is Daniel Jeremiah. He said, quote, "You traded efficient for explosive. Efficiency of Alex Smith versus the explosiveness of Pat Mahomes. Both guys can get you into the dance, but Mahomes' ceiling to win it all is higher." Sharp said again then, "I hope Reed finds and coaches up Mahomes' efficiency." And I think that he's going to, and I think that that's been the biggest focus of the last now year and several months, almost a year and a half now, of Patrick Mahomes being in the building with Andy Reid. I think that's where we're at. Andy Reid knows. Andy Reid does not need to teach Patrick Mahomes to be more explosive. He doesn't need to teach him to be more willing to throw the ball downfield. There are a lot of things that Andy Reid, I think, was trying to teach to Alex Smith, and you heard Andy Reid mention that today in that audio clip we played for you earlier. He doesn't want quarterbacks who check it down constantly. He said in his own words, that's not what it's about. But Alex Smith came to Kansas City being that guy, and so it took some molding from Andy Reid. Well, for Andy Reid now, he's going to teach the inverse. And I think, well, I know for a fact that Andy Reid would rather do it this way. How do I know? Because they went and traded up for Patrick Mahomes. And then Alex Smith had his best season. And then they traded him anyway. Those were all the right moves, in my opinion. Trading for Mahomes, trading away Alex Smith after a year. I was tempted to try to give the ball to Pat Mahomes at different points throughout last season. I'm still not sure that would have been the wrong move, but whatever. But certainly going to get Patrick Mahomes and then trading away Alex Smith for Kendall Fuller and a third. Those were the right decisions. But by making those, Andy Reid said, hey, I loved Alex Smith. Working with Alex Smith was great. But I would rather be teaching Patrick Mahomes how to be efficient than trying to teach Alex Smith how to be explosive. Because I'm just not sure you can teach that. I'm not sure if Andy Reid thinks that's a teachable trait. Alex Smith is efficient, and I don't think that efficient should always be coupled with scared or being a check down Charlie. He was efficient, and if being efficient in the NFL is hard, it's hard and it's good to be efficient in the NFL. I hope that Patrick Mahomes becomes an efficient quarterback. But we know that he's an explosive one. And we know that Alex Smith was hesitant. Less so this year than ever before. And again, still, the Chiefs traded him. Still, the Chiefs moved on. I think that's fascinating and very, very telling. I can't wait to see what this offense looks like. And I cannot wait to see it in action. And I can't wait to see how people have to recalibrate whenever they see what the offense looks like. When it comes together. I think we're going to see some people that are surprised and then act like they aren't. Or surprise and then try to pretend that they weren't saying something that they're saying now. I'm very excited to see how this evolves. The Hall of Fame game is tonight, Thursday. I'm gonna watch chunks of it. And I'll watch the first teams and then probably the second teams. I want to see if Lamar Jackson gets any playing time. I want to see what Trubisky looks like, whatever. But it's the Hall of Fame game. It's not even week one of the preseason. That starts next week. I think the Chiefs' first game is a week from today. I think it's a Thursday night also. But man, as much as I'm going to be excited for those games to get here, I really wish we were closer to the actual starting of the season, because we're going to see a little bit of everybody in week one. And we'll talk, by the way, like whenever this, we are getting to the preseason, whenever we get into it, we're going to have like the nerdier conversations about what like Damian Williams looked like out of the backfield. We'll play pick a Williams, Damian or Kerwin or Daryl. Or Chuck Hendrick West, honorary Williams, I suppose. Williams isn't the plural of William in this instance. It's the actual last name. Stupid. That was to me. I screwed that up. But man, I'm excited to see what it looks like whenever this offense is actually unleashed. Because I think I have so much more optimism than pessimism. And maybe it's because the thing that I talked about a couple of weeks, well, I don't know, it might have been a week ago. Whenever it came down to the ceilings and floors of the quarterbacks of the AFC West, I think Patrick Mahomes' ceiling is higher, and his floor is higher. People want to give it credit for, because even if he throws a bunch of picks, he's still making a lot of big plays in a way that makes him a sort of guarantee. Could be big swings. And he's not going to be a high-floor guy in the way that Alex Smith was. But he can be the high-floor guy because his big mistakes are very quickly offset by big successes. That could also be the thing that lowers his ceiling, by the way. If you want me to be cynical, but I've been a cynical Chiefs fan for far too long. This is where I'm optimistic. Coming up next, Tom Martin from KCTV5 joins us. I think from St. Joe, but he's been out there like for all of training camp. Wherever he is in this specific moment doesn't really worry me. We'll talk to him about what he's seen out there, the interceptions, the Anthony Sherman butts. I don't know. We'll talk to Tom next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Also, for what it's worth, if we see another 9-point performance here, I'm not going to be able to hold back my Patrick Mahomes. The angry mob is coming. They are going to destroy you.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Do they have torches and pitchforks, or what do they have instead?
They actually, unlike Alex Smith's fan base, they have range weapons, so they can attack you from a distance.
Solid joke.
Yeah, no kidding.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I gotta be honest. I don't know if I should feel fearful or dominant right now, because I feel like maybe I'm being challenged. But on the plus side, with Beards here, with me here, and now with Tom Martin on the phone, I feel like we've got maybe the best hair in the history of radio on one show at the same time. Tom, what's your secret?
My secret? It's very simple. I don't even know the name of it. I go to CVS and get this really cheap hair paste thing, and then I throw it on in the morning, and the big key is the brush. All right, you got to brush it.
Okay.
See, some people, I was accused of blow-drying the other day, and I take that as an insult because I'm not somebody who wants to put in like a full makeup session into this. It's just keep it simple, keep it cheap, and you know, just be dedicated and be consistent, as coaches would say.
Yes, and you got to take it one day at a time. You got to take it one day at a time, and like there's no tomorrow, and that's always really important also.
Yeah,
I gotta say,
one follicle at a time.
I gotta say, the blow drying it really is a quick way to add some volume. I think if you do ever get the interest in to try that out, it's worth it. But the idea that you know you're just it's just this natural. Just what's here from CVS, run a brush through it. That's the purity of the game. That is the true most perfect form of just sort of falling your way into this beautifully sculpted head of hair.
It's like sticking with the landline phone, despite the fact that smartphones exist. Like, right. I cherish the old tradition.
But see, old tradition, is old tradition just great hair? Because if so, then yeah, this show cherishes old tradition. I'll tweet this now for my smartphone.
I'd like to thank my mom's father. I think that's genetically how it works.
I don't. Okay, I actually
your
don't.
Your mom's dad?
I don't know. Both of my grandpas had or have a real bald spot problem. So I am terrified of the future. I'll be honest.
Oh, I'm sorry. In that case, no, it's not, and everything's fine.
I'm hoping that it sticks around, and whenever it doesn't, All I ask to the hair follicle gods is by the time I eventually go bald, if that does show up on my front doorstep, that I'm able to grow a pretty kick-ass beard.
What you'll have to do at that point, too, is if for some reason the beard's not coming through, which I have no doubt it will, but you got to get, like, the cool bald guy glasses, like Moby. Like, Moby nailed that look once he went bald. He then got the, like, square Steven Soderbergh glasses, and you're just really cool looking that way. And people forget you're bald. You just think they have the look.
I'm currently Googling Moby to try to find his glasses, because I can't. Oh, yeah, I see. Yes, right. Those are a little narrow for me, but yeah, like, you absolutely. I hope that as I lose my hair, I also lose my eyesight and gain a great beard. That's
just
the combo that I
Moby.
Need.
Doesn't have to be Moby. Just find your Moby.
Yeah, that's what a great life lesson. All right, Tom. Well, thanks for being on the show. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, all good. Thanks.
Okay, that was Tom Martin. Did he hang? Okay, no, we're still here. We've done that before. Yeah, we've done that before. It's Tom Martin of KCTV 5 here. You've been out in St. Joe a lot. This is the thing I actually wanted to talk to you about was the hair. But since you're on the line, it feels like we may as well go ahead and talk about at least what Andy Reid said today. How did you process Andy Reid talking about the intestinal fortitude to not be a check down quarterback?
It totally flew over my head that maybe deep within him, that was maybe a shot at Alex Smith. I think we're really wanting something controversial.
Yeah.
And we're just sort of running with it. Look, in the moment, it more so seemed like, in general, you don't want to have touchdowns as often as a mentality. Sure, maybe that still applies to the captain himself.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as a coach defending his quarterback who really doesn't need to be attacked right now. And not that people are attacking him, but I think the interception thing got real overblown.
Yes.
And having seen a few of them, I mean, first of all, one of them didn't account it yesterday because it was on an offside play.
Yep. You
want him throwing the ball deep
yes.
on that.
God,
and,
yes.
And second of all, the other one was that people, don't realize it's not going to happen in the game. It was on a live period where he's not going to get he's not throwing that ball because nope. otherwise he'd run it in.
Yep.
But he didn't want to do that because it was a live period. He didn't want to get some trash talk because they can't tackle him. So
yeah.
Point being, one of those picks, which was to Justin Houston, I mean, that tells you it probably wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. And I think especially with the playmakers he's throwing to,
mm-hmm.
like this is the time to sort of see, like, can I get an extra 4 feet on this pass to
yes.
Travis Kelce? Can I squeeze it in double coverage because Sammy Watkins can haul it in traffic? Figure these things out now, and then once it gets to game action, we can start complaining at that point.
100%. This is the calibration period. You're not in the game yet. For me, I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. It's because this is the first thing I had to calibrate, I guess. Whenever I think calibration, I think of the Nintendo DS screen. This was a very important formative device in my life, and you had to go in and calibrate the screen. That was not part of the game. But that was the time that you made sure that everything was going to work going forward, and that you would understand how the system would work a little bit more. Mahomes is in that calibration period right now, and as you said, the two of those three picks just do not even register to me, especially the free play one.
And then
the only instance in which that happened is if you're a hater who was watching practice. Like that doesn't make it to any record book, to any box score, in any situation ever. And then the third one was him calling the wrong play, which I kind of get. And like, and if that continues to be a problem, then that would suck. Like, if in week six, and honestly, in week one or week two, if Patrick Mahomes can't get the play call out, then yeah, the Chiefs are in trouble, at least in the short term. But I got to tell you, Tom, I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes not being able to work in this offense. He's been learning it for over a year now.
You know what's funny is I'm defending that the picks aren't important right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in the camp that thinks he'll throw more interceptions. I think Vegas has him at like 14.5 as the over-under. I see him at 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. I really think that in his first year over a 16-game season, he will actually turn the ball over a lot. Which is fine, I think, for his development. I don't see that being a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this year, with the weapons he has, he'll want to try to make some stuff happen. I like the mentality. I respect that. Here's the thing, is the Chiefs, and this is why it's kind of a story. I think we're getting ourselves ready for the story that will be turnovers,
mm-hmm.
which we haven't seen in a while under Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, all right, you have to adjust everything you do to be ready for some volatility there. It's been one of the more stable parts about the Chiefs is that they
yes.
win the turnover battle so often. But this year, I think they might. Losing Marcus Peters and losing Alex Smith.
Yep.
Two worst possible losses if you want turnover battle.
Yep.
So I feel like that's a story. Now's not the right time for it, but eventually it will matter how they respond to maybe losing that battle more often than not.
Absolutely, and that's actually something that we just read a little bit ago on this show right before, like literally right before you got on with, I think it was from Sharp Football on Twitter. They had a whole thread about how the Chiefs have
yep.
done a lot of their winning this year based off of the turnover battle. And that was especially evident not last year but the year before, whenever Alex Smith didn't have a great season, but the defense didn't have a great season except for with turnovers, in which case they won like three or four games basically because of turnovers. And yeah, this whole team, back to the calibration, I guess this whole team is recalibrating to not win the turnover battle as often, which is, I think, one reason that they invested so heavily in the defense in this year's draft, because you've got to be able to try to find more of those playmakers. It's why I hope that Armani Watts ends up being one of the guys that gets a ton of work in at safety beside Eric Berry. It's why I hope Eric Berry can stay healthy, among a multitude of other reasons. It's why I think they invested back in the pass rush again, because you hurry other quarterbacks and then they're more likely to turn it over. But you're right. The two most important players on this team for winning turnover battles were Alex Smith and Marcus Peters, and the Chiefs shipped both of those guys out this offseason.
I'd like to request one audible of term usage here.
Please.
Calibration. Like, a lot of my childhood nightmares come from when it did not calibrate correctly. So a lot of bad flashbacks every time I hear it. I'm like, calibration, and it's like, oh, have to reset the Nintendo now. So I'm kind of shaking a little every time I hear it. You're right, though, and look, I think what's weird is, as bad as the defense was last year,
mm-hmm.
I think I saw on that Sharp Football thread, he said, and they lost some key contributors. And I'm thinking, well, hang on. If the defense was bad
mm-hmm.
and you got rid of some guys,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't that be maybe a good idea?
Right.
I get that Marcus is real talented, but shaking it up, I think the encouraging thing is they're trying to shift the entire identity. It's not just, you know, a couple guys in there, but it's the type of players they're getting, the type of players they let walk. And you're suddenly, I think, going to see a lot more of a physical, aggressive defense
yes.
this year. Whether or not that works, who knows? And I think it's Bob Sutton's time to really prove himself, but at least they're trying something different. I respect that approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually something we've talked a lot about this week. I went through the whole lineup from the playoff loss, and I think there are basically 13 guys who played sort of like starter level snaps, Kevin Pierre-Louis being the outside of that. And then you got to have 12 so you can account for all the linebackers and bringing in the slot corner. But at like 6 or 7 of these spots, they upgraded on the position if you're willing to give another year of development for a guy like Reggie Ragland as an upgrade. Even if you're not, it's a healthier Justin Houston, and it's replacing Benny Logan with two more talented younger middle-of-the-defense guys. It's replacing an aging Derek Johnson with Anthony Hitchens. It's replacing Frank Zombo with Dee Ford returning from injury, or with Breland Speaks, or maybe even Tano Passanio. It's replacing Eric Murray with Eric Berry. Like, there are tons of places on this defense, especially since the Titans playoff game, where they've replaced guys, I think, for the better. And I'm a Bob Sutton skeptic. I'm not sure I love building like a really aggressive defense, a physical defense, I should say. I'm not sure I love building a physical defense in 2018, but I love building an aggressive one that is still going for turnovers. And I think, to your point, this is what the Chiefs have spent this offseason doing.
I'm going to point something else out, too.
Mm-hmm.
We always list, you know how like in media it's always convenient to list, like, if we're going to point out an example, we then list 3 examples off of that.
Sure,
or maybe
yes.
4 or 5.
Yes.
For a guy who's entering his 8th season with Chiefs, how often have we ever, and you guys more than me since I'm newer,
mm-hmm.
how often have we ever been like, and Alan Bailey?
Yes.
Like, so we never mentioned Alan Bailey, and yet he starts constantly. He makes an impact on the defensive line, and he's entering year 8. He's like the oldest guy down there.
Yeah.
And we never mentioned him. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I bring him up only because he referred to 2 of the younger defensive linemen today
mm-hmm.
as little dumplings. Did you hear that?
No! Holy!
Okay, first of all, I'm glad I brought something up you haven't already touched on.
Oh,
first
that's
of all,
so good.
It's Derek Nottie and D. Liner.
Yes.
And we're like, what's your role, kind of coach? Because he had said he was kind of a coach, you know, being the veteran. And he's like, well, you know, D. Liner and Derek Nottie, 2 youngins, the little dumplings. Starts laughing, and the next answer, like a totally different subject, he's still laughing to himself about it. And so we were all just giggling, and we couldn't tell what he really said at first, but then going back and hearing that it was little dumplings. By the way, those 2 little dumplings combined to weigh like 630 pounds.
Yeah, so that's a hell of a dumpling.
That's like your supersize, like, China Garden dumpling right there. That's no business.
That's no business. Not even. That's a McDumpling. That's like McDonald's trying to branch out, and they give you the double big McDumpling. And that's, by the way, can we also spend like 10 seconds just talking about how awesome it is that the Chiefs have a defensive lineman named D-Liner? Like, It makes
D-liner,
me so happy.
D-liner was born to play D-line, and I think that at some – in fact, okay, I just saw that you retweeted that, so yeah,
yes.
You're all about this now.
I'm living into the two little dumplings thing.
I hope D-line – it sounds like D-line might make the team.
Yeah, I think he's – especially if he gets put on the edge.
Yeah, for sure.
Edge is strong. D-liner. Not edge, but end.
I will name my kid Sack Master. I will change his last name, and he'll just play defensive line.
I'll name my kid like Wealthy Doctor. I think that's. We'll take care of his elderly father. It's a kind of a clunky name, but that's I think what I would go with.
Mom House Purchaser.
When I saw that D-liner had been signed with the Chiefs before I saw his position, I was so afraid that he was going to be like a corner. I was so ready to be let down, and then I was lifted so high by the pure joy that comes with it.
It's like LeVar Ball where he says, speak it into existence, just name
yes.
your kid into existence.
Yes.
And let him flourish based off his name. Like, has that ever gone wrong? Has someone named their kid something like that, and then they've just immediately failed? Like, miserably fail to become the opposite?
The only thing that I can think of now is the fact that George Foreman named his seven kids all George, 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 and Georgette. Georgetta, excuse me, Georgetta. And so,
oh,
I don't know if
I mean,
that comes into play.
Still all attached to the Foreman grill franchise, so.
Yes.
Everything's fine.
Everything is, yes, even if George, did you know, by the way, until you knew that George Foreman had done this, did you know that you could just name your kids Tom Martin the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth? I thought that was a generational thing.
Yeah, it's like an egotistical thing. Maybe he's like of a different culture. Maybe he did like some cultural studies and thought this is something I can bring here and be original with. But
I mean, he was born in Texas, not the 1900s.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that not a ton of people know about me.
Okay.
And that is that my name may not have been Tom if not for my mother, a dear mother. My dad is the third Earl Martin. And not only is he the third Earl Martin, his middle name is Plain. So my dad was about to make me Earl Plain Martin the fourth. And my mom was like, all right, look, it's me or the name.
His middle name is Plain?
L-A-I-N. And the best part is he's a pilot.
That's...
So it was so close.
That's almost D-liner. That's awesome. If your last name was Pilot, like that would be the only way this could have gone better. If his name was Earl Plain Pilot.
His middle name is P-L-A-N-E, and I don't subscribe to what it actually is, just for fun.
That's incredible. I feel like you would have had a harder time getting into media as anything fourth.
I'd have a fake name. I would have come up with, like, I don't know, like Max Stronghold or something. Well, that sounds like a bit of a different type of name, but you know what I mean.
Yes, like, it
I'd
does.
Come up with something very sportsy.
Yeah, Max Stronghold might be a bit much. You could have gone the D-liner way and just gone, like, Tom Toxin to Mikes. And
yeah,
it would
check some search histories. Max Stronghold might come up on something somewhere.
Don't Google Max Stronghold. You know what? I'm going to actually while we're talking. Have you gone through that thought exercise of what your fake name would actually be?
Have I done an exercise on this?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay.
Is there one of those like internet generators?
Oh, we could absolutely go do one of those. No question.
Yeah.
So far, whenever you search Max Stronghold, it looks to be just like Mad Max-related strongholds, which I think is a thing in a Mad Max video game, maybe. Basically, what I'm saying is that you are good. You are safe.
I'm good. Okay. Hey, you know what? The one that you do not want to Google ever. Do you know who Evan Fournier is? He's a shooting guard in the NBA.
Yes. You said that, and then Beard just had a huge...
I've heard this story before.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Don't Google it. Don't... Whatever you do, anyone out there listening...
I just did
do
it.
Don't image search it. You can just do not image search it.
I'm going to tilt my laptop away from the big window by us, and... Is it because of his very bad man bun?
Oh, no, it's not him. If you just... Okay, fine. Take the first name away.
if you just search Fournier, it's like a terrible disease.
No, yeah, that gross. Yeah, no, I have heard about that. I have had some. I'm searching it not on the.
No, you did it. Why? I told you not to do it.
You know that you can't tell me not to do a thing. It's like telling
Don't
a cat
push the
not.
Button.
Ah! It's like telling a cat not to knock the cup off of the shelf.
I give you one instruction.
I am horrified. Oh, man.
If you guys at home listen or learn one thing from this broadcast, it's nothing about the Chiefs. It's not to search Fournier on Google Image.
I feel like I should just read the Wikipedia page, but I don't want to make anybody drive into a ditch or barf into their dinner or anything, so we will not.
NBA Twitter tried to make his nickname Never Google.
I do vaguely remember that story happening. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
any other football questions, Josh?
I don't know. I did want to give you props on something that you tweeted out that I've legitimately quoted on like four different shows now, is that you've seen Patrick Mahomes having issues with the with throwing interceptions to the edge guys. And I thought that there was an interesting thought process to be had there. My theory is that I have two theories. One is that he's just throwing some interceptions to knock us off the trail so he can throw 30 touchdowns and no picks this year and he'll be surprised again. But the other theory is that the difference between being in the Big 12 and the NFL is that now you have to start recalibrating with what your outside pass rushers can be. What the outside pass rushers can do, because if you try to sneak that past somebody at OU, you're going to have a pretty good chance of getting that one outside of his outstretched fingertips if he puts a play on the ball at all. If you try to whip one past Justin Houston, he is going to read your eyes and find the ball and get there at a pace that gets him the ball going the other direction. So I don't know if you have any way that you can expand on what you've seen on that. I just thought that was a really great observation that you had.
Well, I think a big difference is that in the Big 12, obviously, you know this, per the rules and regulations, defenses actually don't move. They're
right,
like
yes.
Playing with the, oh my gosh, what's the bar game called? Where you flip the guys, and like they flip, and then they go sideways.
Oh, like a Tecmo Bowl thing?
No, it's usually for soccer.
Okay, the best thing that's happening right now is that we are in, foosball.
Foosball, yes, it's like foosball. Like they're like aligned to a grid.
No, that's
in
perfect.
In the NFL, the Big 12 defenses aren't going to give up 50 points a game because it's me. So, maybe he's because, Tano Pastaneo has had a couple of picks going back to OT and then in training camp. And I guess the one pick Mahomes threw against Denver, that was a completely different version. That was going deep to somebody. Mm-hmm. Airmailed it. But I don't know. I one area to watch him, and this is sort of building off this, is going to be in the red zone this year just based off the drills today. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh my gosh, I almost just fell out of my chair. On the radio. No joke. Okay, we're going to fix this.
Did you ever
kneel on? Oh, the wheel fell off.
Did you get too comfortable? What happened?
So I'm one of those guys, I'll get on a chair like on my knees and just sort of twirl like a 9-year-old, and the wheel legit fell off base, and so I just went like 25 degrees south. So anyway, getting back to the football discussion, which is not why we're here, but we're going to do this. I do think, in all seriousness, that him in the red zone will be curious because he's always been able to use the arm. Like, how often do you really get in the red zone in the Big 12 with
right.
spread offense? You're scoring touchdowns from like a 25-yard line out usually. That's a broad stroke, but
no. Keep talking really quick. Do you put your knees towards the back of the chair or what? I'm doing it now on the Facebook live stream.
So basically, what I do is I will. Let's say that you turn the chair, and so I'm facing. I'm doing it now too on the broken chair. By the way, you're facing the back.
Yes.
Yes.
And
then, so I will just kind of twirl. It's when I get kind of antsy a little bit.
Sure.
Because I'm, attention deficit disorder, all that. So.
Yeah. No, this is good. I'm usually doing weird things while on the radio. I've had people ask why I move like Ray Charles or Stevie Wonder while talking into a microphone. just kind of rocking back and forth occasionally. And so I think this is probably the next evolution for me, hosting a radio show from from leaning. Oh, man, it kind of hurts my neck this way, though. I think I've gone too far.
Just make sure the wheels are attached. Like, if you wind up hurting yourself off of this, you cannot blame me.
I think I need to lock.
I don't want the radio people coming after me for injuring you.
No, that's, don't worry. They don't care about me. I think what I need to do is lock the chair in place so it doesn't rock so much. I think I'm really doing it at an additional degree of difficulty right now, which I honestly, I feel pretty good about.
Do you have segments?
I was waiting for the end of that sentence. I mean, we have
the longest. No, hey, this is great. I'm just saying this is the longest I've been allowed to talk on a radio show in a while. This is it's refreshing.
You you're a TV guy, and so you live in a different planet. Because
I have an internal clock, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's good. That's good news. Like Mick Schaefer, I've worked with. He did a lot of stuff at 810, hosting on weekends and stuff when I was running a lot of those shows. And I used to be able to just tell him, like, "Hey, a minute," and then he would get out like at the exact right second. It blew my mind. I need to be reminded what day it is. That's a main difference. The other thing, go ahead. No, you hang out first.
I fixed the wheel.
The other thing is I think that the entire mindset for TV and radio is completely inverted, because I get the feeling that in TV you're doing everything to try to like leave yourself as much time as possible for like weather or whatever. And in talk radio, you're doing everything that you can to fill the time allotted to you.
Yeah, it the polar opposite. Yeah, it's pretty evident.
And sometimes that makes really really terrible radio. And sometimes your guest almost falls out of his chair because he's spinning around on his knees. And it's just magic.
We don't need to make this a thing, do we? We don't need to.
Oh, no.
Am I going to get my own open?
Yep, 100%. Beards was working on it literally while you were saying that. I think Beards and I were telecommunicating. That's just a phone, isn't it? Telepathy. We were communing telepathically. That was better. Telecommunicating.
There it is.
You and I are telecommunicating while Beards and I are communicating telepathically. He is forming your intro in his head right now as you are fixing the wheel on your chair.
You have the weirdest show, and I love it. It's great.
That'll be a part of it. Thank you, Tom. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, bud. See ya.
Tom Martin of KZTV5. You can follow him on Twitter at... Oh, no. Hold on. I'm going to find it. Is it Tom KZTV5? Boom! Tom KZTV5. It's really easy to remember. Follow him there. He's a very good Twitter follow. And man, is he still on the line? Boy, he's so much more fun whenever he's on radio and not trapped to the metric of television. Also, I wonder how he feels being on this radio show and having the third best hair. I did butter him up, but like, let's be real. Beards, take off your hat for Facebook really quick. Take off your hat, Beards. Tom's got very good hair. Bronze medal.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.